I am beyond delighted to be speaking to my next guest. I have binge listened to pretty much most of her podcast series, Unraveling Me podcast, over the past couple of days. I'm addicted. It's absolutely astounding stuff. I think if you are anything like me and you're interested in identity issues, this is the go-to place for you. She's a remarkable woman who's been through a remarkable journey. Her name is Kara Rubenstein-Darren. She thought she was half white, half black, of mixed race, and turns out that the black bit didn't actually exist, and instead, she found out she was 50% Ashkenazi Jewish. That must be a disequilibrium maker if ever there was. Kara, thank you so much for being with us on Chai FM.
Thank you so much for having me.
So most of us go and take a DNA test because, I don't know, just for the curiosity of it, or we want to find a French uncle or something interesting. Yours must have shaken you to your absolute core. Tell me about that moment.
Absolutely. Well, I think most of us take a test because we're thinking about, you know, that lederhosen or kilt thing. And we're kind of sucked in by those commercials. Yeah. You know, and we don't think that we're opening Pandora's box, but the data shows at least 5% of us are walking around not knowing our correct parentage. And my guess is that it's a lot higher. So they really need a big warning, like they put on the cigarette boxes, you know, unexpected results could occur. And you think it's not going to happen to you. I mean, people say, didn't you look in the mirror? How did you not know?
I'm looking at you and I'm thinking, where did you get off thinking you were 50% black? I don't get it. But
I get that question a lot. But you believe the stories that your parents tell you. Yes, those are the people that you trust the most, right? And that was the narrative that I was raised with. So I had no reason to question it at all. I didn't go in taking my test thinking, oh, somebody, I'm not related to any of my family by any means. And it was a complete shock to get my results.
So when you open the computer and it is greeted on ancestry.com or 23andMe or whatever it says, this is you, and you click and it says Ashkenazi Jewish 23%. I think I heard you say on one of your podcasts that you thought that was a different word for a sneeze.
Yes, I did. I've never heard it before. And I was half. It showed half.
Which
my
is a lot.
My pie chart says 50%. Yeah. And I was like, oh, that's right. I'm half black, right? My brain just could not process the data. And if I had thought about it for a second, which I did a few seconds later, you know, you can't be half black if you're descended from slavery in the United States. I mean, my raising father, the person who I thought was my father, you know, I think he's at least 33% European because there's so much, you know,
the power dynamics at the time. Yes, exactly.
Exactly. So nobody's 100. If you're from the United States, you're not going to end up 50% black. If you are, then your parent is from Africa.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So it changed everything.
I want to understand that because I want to understand what it changes. I mean, there you are. You're convinced that you're a mixed race person in America. And suddenly they take that identity away from you. And I'm just wondering, what replaces that? Is it grief? Is it anger? Is it betrayal? Is it confusion? Is it all of them all at once? What are you feeling when this happens to you?
Confusion. I think confusion is really loss, shock. Shock is the number one word people use to describe their experience. You don't know which way is up anymore. Untethered is another way. For me, that's what I felt, completely untethered from my world and my sense of self. Everyone says you're still you. Yeah,
exactly.
You're still you. Yeah, yeah. But it's such a different context within which to view yourself. You can't look in the mirror because you're looking at your features that don't make sense anymore. Like I said, you base your information on what you've been told, and that information is now wrong. And so you have no sense of self. And it takes a lot of effort. I've had so many crazy things in my life happen to me, moving, family members murdered, all sorts of things. And I've gotten back up. It's been okay. And I've been able to move on. And this knocked me down. And it took a lot of effort and focus to rebuild my sense of who I was.
If I try to put myself in your place and I think, well, I'm 97.4% Ashkenazi Jewish, so there's no doubt there. But had I found out that I was 50% French or 50% German, I probably would have been really pretty ecstatic that I would have had this wonderful food culture and lovely music culture, et cetera, et cetera. But I think you heard, while you were waiting online, you heard the advert for the CSO, the Community Safety Organization, talking about the need to be safe and the need to be aware. We are living in really scary times to be Jewish. It adds an extra layer. There's no getting away from it. It just does. How did you relate to that? The fact that you're...
Wow. My raising dad said to me, oh, baby, it's okay. You went from one oppressed group to the other.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, most people in the United States and around the world who aren't Jewish don't understand. We have armed guards when we worship,
That's the point.
And I'm very public about being half Jewish. I converted not a couple of years after my discovery. And it is something my family and I had to talk about, right? If you're going to be so public, are we open to being so public about it because of the risks that you mentioned?
I'm fascinated that you actually went on that path of feeling the need to convert. What was it that just spoke to your soul or that you felt the need to do it?
I think we have genetic memory. I think epigenetics might eventually show something as we learn more about it. But the first time I wanted to know more about my ancestry, what does it mean to be Jewish? And I have to tell you, you know, I have a law degree. I love studying and searching and grappling with issues and information. Jewish.
Hello, exactly. Yes.
but who's a Jew is probably one of the most complex conversations that I have ever come across. And as somebody who wasn't exposed to any Jewish world when I was younger, I had no idea. And so I began to explore that. And when I went to temple for the first time and heard Hebrew for the first time, in my soul, I had heard that before. I knew I had heard that
before. You're giving me goosebumps. I mean, that is just crazy. And yet it happened. I mean, you can't invent that. That clearly happened because you invested too much thereafter for it not to have. You didn't just discover a new biological father. Nobody wants the story to end like this, but you discovered him too late. How do you even begin to process a relationship that begins and ends without you ever meeting?
I think one of the hardest parts about discovering a genetic parent that's deceased is in our society, we have no means of grieving that and no means of supporting somebody grieving that. Nobody understands it. You didn't know him. What's it matter? Who cares? Those sorts of things come up. But it is a loss and a hole that I've come to realize no matter how many people I talk to who knew him, no matter how many stories I read about him, I can never fill that hole. It's a piece of me that I can never make whole, and I have to be okay with that.
And then it kind of gets worse in a certain respect because your biological father's family chose not to have a relationship with you. And I'm just wondering how you hold this rejection alongside the excitement of discovering a new heritage and then Nochal still going and converting. I mean, you almost would have thought they're rejecting me, I'm going to reject them.
Their rejecting me has nothing to do with me. And that's the part about rejection that takes a long time for your heart to agree with your head.
Interesting, yeah.
You know, rejection, of course, isn't what anybody wants at the end of their story. And sometimes it changes. I always hold out hope that, you know, maybe somebody in my family would choose to have connection with me. But that strong pull towards Judaism was there and I couldn't deny it.
And, you know, I've listened to Maria's story and I've listened to Lorenzo's story on your podcast, Unraveling Me. And honestly, I suggest all my listeners go and find your podcast because these are the kinds of issues and stories that they're grappling with. And it seems like there's some sort of a common thread between all of you. And it's this, it's exactly what we're discussing. So suddenly you belong to a people you've never met and a history you've never lived. And you have to build a new identity aged 44. And who gets to decide if you're Jewish enough? I mean, it's not an easy place to exist in.
I'll tell you, the first time at one of the temples I was at, I went to this challah making class. And this lady said to me, oh, what's your last name? And it was the first time I used my father's last name. I'm like, Rubenstein de Aaron, which I did legally change and add into my name. It was part of me creating my new sense of identity and self. Yes. And she goes, oh, what's your mother's maiden name?
Oh, my goodness. All right.
And I, you know, somebody who doesn't understand that wouldn't understand what an insult that was, but it was such an insult. And so, you know, it is a hard space to be in and you have to be strong in your sense of identity and self and understand you get to choose who you are. And after a DNA surprise, you get to rebuild who you are. That pull towards Judaism is not uncommon. I've heard thousands of stories, and most people who find out they're half Italian or French, like you were saying, are excited about the new food or culture. But people who discover they're half Jewish have that pull in a way that doesn't exist for other discoveries.
Fascinating.
I think Cassandra is a really good example of that. Cassandra's donor conceived. You can listen to her episode. And her and I traveled a very similar path. She converted a little bit before I did. There's a lot of donor conceived people who are Jewish because during that time period, a lot of Jewish men donated sperm. So it is definitely there that we have that pull and that need to be with our Jewish family.
And then I guess like the million-dollar question here, you were treated as a black woman your entire life up until the discovery. Society racialized you long before genetics ever did. How do you reconcile the identity that the world gave you with the identity that the DNA gave you?
It's really hard. I mean, in the United States, we're constantly asked to choose our racial identity. And for 44 years, I checked black and white, or just black, because early as a child, you know, the one drop rule in the United States still sort of societally applied, meaning that if you had one drop of African-American blood, you were considered black. And so that was my sense of self and who I am. I have an affinity and love for black culture, and it's who I consider myself. So I consider myself a mixed race Jewish woman because that's how I grew up and that's what I identify with.
Fascinating.
I think, we have the right to choose our ethnicity. We have fluidity in so many spaces. It's where our hearts identify, and that's what we should be.
You gave me a throwaway line at the very beginning of the discussion this afternoon. You said that these tests should come with a warning label. I just want to go into that a little bit in more depth. They don't just give you information. They can blow up families. They can divulge secrets, entire personal histories. Do you think they should come with a warning label?
I do. I think they should come with a warning label. I don't think it'll stop anybody. Like I said, I didn't think that I was going to get a surprise. I felt like I didn't quite fit in, but I always thought that was because I was mixed. Like I wasn't black enough in my black family or white enough in my white family. But I will say, while shock and confusion is the first thing people feel, eventually validation is often the next thing, because we have the sense. There's something called genetic mirroring, where you see your face, your physical traits, but also your likes and dislikes reflected from your family around you. And if you don't have that as a child, you internalize it and think something's wrong with you. So when we get this news, it's shocking. It turns your world upside down, but it's also validating. And so I think everyone has a right to know their genetic identity from birth. I started a nonprofit called Right to Know that provides resources and information and does advocacy work in these areas. Because I think given the new technology, you know, I say we're the byproduct of over-the-counter DNA testing. People have been making babies in all sorts of ways from the beginning of time. Now there's just no secret about it, right?
Yeah.
So we need to move with the times and support people who are making these decisions, these discoveries, and understand that it impacts my medical history, right? So
100%.
When I was pregnant, right, I didn't test for Tay-Sachs, right?
Correct.
I tested for sickle cell. So we need this information. It's critical to our mental and physical health.
Final question for you. I've got a minute and a half before I need to go to news. But after everything, the shock, the loss, the discovery, the Judaism, the rebuilding, when you say I'm Kara, what does that sentence mean to you now?
Well, as I said, I still identify as a mixed Jewish woman. It means I'm still building me, and I always will be. And something I have realized, these discoveries, you don't get over, you get through. I get triggered sometimes.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy that I have my DNA surprise community as well as my Jewish community to support me. I have the best rabbi ever. And she's been extremely supportive in my process. And we need that community support to help us through difficult times.
Kara, I knew I was going to love talking to you. I knew that without any shadow of a doubt. I love your podcast series. We'll post a link to it on our website when this gets put up as a podcast tomorrow. Thank you so much for making the time. And thank you for sharing your very personal story with us here on Chai FM. And what a story it is.